On your Thursday episode of Locked On Raptors, the Toronto Raptors take down the Miami Heat 112-104. We will dig into what was probably the best game of OG Anunoby's career, as he was fantastic. We'll also dissect the 21-0 run in the third quarter to turn this game around. We got the good, the bad, and the as well with our pal Jamar Hines from Raptors Republic. It's all coming up today. Thanks for hanging.
Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot kind of miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Canada, the NBA title is yours.
We're going to the first time of the Hail Mary 3 by Mo Pete.
Get that garbage out of here.
What's going on? Welcome to episode number 1284 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday. That's what it is. Thursday, November the 17th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of Post Touches, my new Substack newsletter. You can subscribe to with my pinned tweet on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You just go in there, you click there, click through, subscribe, and you are a best friend of mine for the rest of time. You will also be a best friend of mine if you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Raptors, if you follow, subscribe, rate, and or review on your favorite podcast apps, and if you go to YouTube and hit the big red subscribe button, you are forever in my debt. Or I'm forever in your debt. That's the way that's supposed to go if you go ahead and do that. So thanks in advance for taking the time to support the show. All right, on today's show, the Toronto Raptors had a pretty nice team win over the Miami Heat, 112-104 last night. Injuries on both sides. No Bam or Tyler Hero for the Heat. No Pascal, Gary Trent Jr. Who else was out in this game for the Raptors? Everybody, it seemed. Otto Porter Jr. wasn't there. They did get Fred VanVleet back, which was very nice. And here to break it all down is our pal Jamar Hines from Raptors Republic. Jamar, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm great, man. It was a fun win last night. Nice to get back like into sort of like good vibes mode, especially with like Scotty Barnes turning things back around. I know they won earlier this week as well, but this one felt a little bit more, you know, meaningful. It's Kyle Lowry's in town. He's doing annoying things. it's always nice to beat that guy. So let's dive in, shall we, to the sort of big takeaway from this game. And I think everyone would agree, it's probably OG Anunoby. And as I said in the cold open, I think this was maybe the best game we've ever seen OG Anunoby play. Just to recap what he did last night, 32 points, 10 boards, 3 assists, 13 of 18 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. He had 3 turnovers as well, had the ball in his hands quite a bit, played 43 minutes. Holy hell. 43 minutes of very hard, nasty play against a very hard and nasty team to play against. Jamar, let's just kind of dive in. What were your sort of big pull-away takeaways from OG's performance in this one? He was just a delight to watch, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I thought he started the game really, really aggressive. First of all, especially with Bam out, Miami's not a big team. So it gave OG the opportunity to continuously go downhill. And he did that a lot in the first half. He was going downhill a lot. If someone even met him on the way downhill, he was just going through them. you say he had 32 points. It was only on 18 shots. It was extremely efficient. Oh, I think it was like 13 for 18. So, yeah, it was extremely efficient, and he just kept going downhill and finding baskets. And then in the second half, you saw him start to, like, hit a few jumpers as well. Fred made it a point to find OG a few times in the third quarter, especially when he orchestrated the alley-oop. Which is something we don't really – half-court alley-oops are still an eye-opener to me because, I mean, like, we see them in transition, but half-court alley-oops is I'm going to get more on that later. We had 3 of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, OG was one of them. And then he started making a few jumpers, knocked down a 3. Because, you know, OG normally takes more than 3 threes a game. But everything at the rim was going so well, there was just no need for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, between there was one possession where Lowry, and you know how tough Lowry is to score on in the post, because he just barrels down and you can't move him, and OG was like one of the few guys that could actually move him in the post. I mean, he's like big size advantage over Lowry, but that's been Lowry's whole thing. We've seen it for years where, you know, someone bigger tries to post him up and they can't do it. Well, OG did it. And yeah, it was just, it was very efficient, very just feeling very businesslike. Like there wasn't a lot of playing around. It was just like, get the ball with a purpose, do something. So yeah.
Yeah. The point you made about, sorry, Jamar, the point you made about him getting downhill, I think, is one that really stands out, right? Like, and he did this himself a few times. Like, he'd just like grab and go coast to coast, and then all of a sudden there's a guy in the paint staring down a business decision because OG's barreling their way. Honestly, when he gets that head of steam, have you ever seen Jurassic Park 3 in the runway scene where they got the plane going towards the guy and the guy's like, please stop. And the guy in the plane is the OG in this situation. He's like, you know, I can't stop this plane, man. And it was like, OG is the guy who can't stop the plane. And anyone who's standing in front of him is a psycho. But like, that's, I think, kind of the secret to getting OG going, is to kind of get him with a bit of a head of steam, whether it's in the full court or if it's in the half court. And we saw last night, in that third quarter run, which we're going to kind of break down and give everyone their flowers for it, but you know, there were, Will Liu posted the clip of like three straight times they got OG the ball coming around a pin down. And like, I think to me, this is kind of the secret sauce for OG so far this season on offense, is that he's kind of doing more with less. He's not running like any pick and roll. He's averaging 1.8 pick and rolls run per game. He's averaging 1.1 ISOs per game. And he's also taking a full one fewer three-point or pull-up threes per game as well. And those three things, you would think, are kind of the types of shots and possessions that facilitate a breakout. If a guy's doing that stuff, it's because he's this, you know, he's this offensive engine. He's running pick and rolls. He's getting his number called all the time. Whereas I don't think that's really what's happening with OG. I think they're just getting OG in really advantageous positions. He's, you know, shooting more than four, or sorry, just under four catch and shoot threes a game. You know, that's kind of right in line where he's always been. He is just feasting in transition, as we know. And he's right now sixth in the league in spot ups per game. Like, they're just getting it to him in spots where he can kind of attack an advantage and not making him have to be the guy who creates the advantage. They've got guys for that. Fred VanVleet did a wonderful job of that last night, navigating double teams, setting guys up, you know, again, sort of making sure OG was eating when he was in that, in the midst of that heater in the third. Scotty Barnes had a much better game. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, today as well. When you have that sort of creation around OG, he's free to just kind of feast on the what's left over. And usually what's left over is wide open lanes to the basket because of all the attention the other guys draw. So, yeah, I think it's just been such a great adaptation of what OG's done. You know, there was a lot of stuff on the ball last year. The post-ups were pretty routine, a little bit more in terms of ISOs and whatnot. I feel like they've kind of cut that stuff out, and it's just the stuff he's really good at, and the result is a really, really fantastic and efficient offensive player who doesn't really detract anything when he is going in your offense, because he's just kind of playing within the flow. Yeah, we should also talk about his defense, Jamar, because not the counting stats you're accustomed to with OG in this one, just one block, no steals, but I kind of think this was like a masterpiece defensively for him. Do you have any thoughts on the way he sort of dictated what was, I think, one of the most disciplined defensive games the Raptors have played in quite some time?
No, definitely disciplined, and it's funny, yeah, I think the Raptors did a great job of playing the unspectacular defense, if you will, because when you think Raptors defense, you think, you know, just swarming guys, jumping passing lanes, Fred digging down for steals, get out in the fast break. I think they only had 9 fast break points yesterday, and they only had 5 steals. But Miami had 23 turnovers. That's a ratio that you don't really see. Normally, if a team has that many turnovers, there's a lot more, you know, steal opportunities and stuff like that. But there are a lot of dead ball turnovers. The Raptors played great position defense, and then Miami would just do something dumb. This is a part of them also being really sloppy. But it just, you saw guys just be in people's faces, and then they would travel, or they would step, or a great closeout on the three-point line, and then they would step out of bounds, or just – you know, forcing a horrible pass out of bounds. Like, Miami had a lot of turnovers like that. And yeah, OG forced a couple like those. So it wasn't like your typical OG defensive game where you see, oh, he had six steals, five steals, four steals, or something like that. It's just the Raptors just made it tough in that sense and just made Miami's, you know, have a lot of unforced errors. And Jimmy Butler, he only took eight shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler has been like a notorious Raptor killer basically his entire career, going back to his Bulls days. So, you know, a Jimmy Butler game where he only takes eight shots, that was something.
Yeah, so Jimmy Butler, I'm glad you brought him up because that is, I think, worth mentioning in the lens of OG too. He's really, really good at guarding Jimmy Butler. And look, Jimmy Butler does a pretty good job against OG as well. There was that possession late where it was like a titanic battle of like two mountain monsters fighting one another as OG fought to set up that Chris Boucher dunk. That was amazing. But on the other end, man, like you said, Butler only took eight shots on the season so far. This is per the NBA's matchup data, which, look, it's not perfect data. It's not, you know, be all end all, but three games so far, OG has spent 19 minutes and 23 seconds per NBA tracking on Jimmy Butler this season. 86 possessions. He's 6 of 15 in those possessions. He's got 4 turnovers to 3 assists, and the Heat have scored 72 points on those 86 possessions, which I don't know the per 100 prorate that out because I'm bad at math, but it's bad. OG has been just a monster against Jimmy Butler, and you know, it's the guy he's guarded more than anybody else so far in the league this year. It's the best sample we have in terms of matchup data for anybody on the Raptors, actually. So he's the only guy who's played an opponent three times, which speaks to the lack of health for the team. But that number stood out to me. It's just when you kind of cut off the offense at the head with Jimmy Butler and you don't have Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo to kind of complement too, it gets real tricky. And look, Kyle Lowry did his darndest, but OG was just all-encompassing last night, man. He was awesome. But back to the offense point, just one thing. I'm going to do dumb guy coach thing. Just like, let's drop a play for OG.
Okay.
Back to the point of like him getting downhill. Do you think there's like a world in which they could run like CFL style wide receiver motion plays for OG just to like have him scream out of the backcourt, catch a pitch and just go in and fly to the basket? Like, I feel like it's weird. It's unorthodox, but like Nick Nurse has done football inspired stuff before. Why can't this be a thing they do? I know the Celtics have done this with like Jason Tatum and crunch time as recently as this season as well. Like, just get the dude ahead of steam. He seems like he's kind of impossible to stay in front of, or like even have the guts to stay in front of when he's got that head of steam going. Just food for thought. You know, let's incorporate some Dave Dickinson concepts into what the Raptors are doing. We're gonna continue on here tomorrow.
I'm cool with that as long as he's not drawing those offensive fouls.
Yeah, that might be.
He wasn't doing that yesterday, but sometimes he has a tendency to like barrel people over and draw
for sure. It was nice. The refs seemed to be giving him the benefit of the doubt yesterday and like accepting, oh yeah, he's just stronger than everybody, which is not always the benefit of the doubt that he gets. But he was stronger than everybody on the Heat yesterday. That's for damn sure. We're going to continue on here, Jamar. We're going to break down and dissect the 21-0 run that led the Raptors past the Heat in this one and kind of put them ahead for good. We'll get to that in just one sec. But first, I have to tell you about BetterHelp. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual, so when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Navigating any of life's challenges can make you feel unsure, whether it's a career change, a new relationship, or becoming a parent. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient and accessible anywhere. It's all 100% online. I'm someone who has kind of been resistant to the idea of therapy, but I am very much coming around on considering it. It's November. It's dark. It's sad times. Things are horrible in the world. And you sometimes just got to have someone to talk to. And BetterHelp is there to provide that. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% of your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/lockedonNBA. All right, we continue on here. Your first listen of the day with Jamar Hines of Raptors Republic. The 21-0 run. The Raptors just kind of turned this on in the third quarter. It was 70-59 for the Heat. It seemed like maybe the Heat were kind of pulling away a little bit. And then a Scottie Barnes sort of drive turn floater gets them up to 70-61. And then we're all off and running from there. And the Heat go, I don't know the exact number now that it was over half of the quarter, over 6 minutes without a bucket for the Miami Heat. Turnovers, missed shots, incredible defensive rotations and discipline for the Raptors, as we kind of alluded to. We should just give the whole team flowers for this run, I suppose, Jamar. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, it was 7 minutes and 12 seconds exactly.
Good Lord. See, this is why we get the recap man on the podcast. You have the details down.
Yes. 7 minutes and 12 seconds, 13 consecutive stops by the Raptors, which Nick Nurse mentioned multiple times after the game.
And was he never mind. I'm not going to make the Alvin Williams joke again. Carry on.
I'm going to get to Alvin. So we are going to get to that. But okay. So 7 minutes and 12 seconds, 13 straight stops. I want to echo credit that Nurse gave after the game to a guy that hasn't really gotten much of any credit this season. Well, he hasn't warranted it really. But I thought Juancho Hernangomez did a good job defensively. Even in the first half, he was getting a couple of deflections that led to one of the Raptors' rare steals in this game. But Juancho, when I mentioned about playing position defense, he was one of the guys that was really doing that. And Nurse said he's a guy that, sometimes staying in front of like someone one-on-one is a little bit of an adventure, but he's really good at closing out on shooters. And that's what basically he was doing that a lot. He was chasing guys down at the three-point line. And that was partially what led to Miami doing dumb things when, they caught the ball there and they didn't really have a plan B, it seemed, especially like Caleb Martin. And good for him because he kind of deserved that. But he had a tendency of, like, I don't know how many turnovers he had, but is more than he should have as a role player. Where it felt like every time he caught the ball with no plan, he was doing something that resulted in a turnover. Yeah. And then, that would be my first set of flowers. And then secondly, Fred was amazing in that third quarter. When you look at the full stat line, where I think he like shot, 7 for 21?
Yeah.
That doesn't really tell the story. The third quarter, he was 4 for 8. He had 13 points. He had 4 assists. And he was just orchestrating everything, whether it be for himself or for OG. And he had a beauty of a pass to Scottie Barnes, one of those like jump bounce passes to Scottie Barnes for a dunk. And he was just in full control. And he had said after the game, because obviously he just missed a couple games of, non-COVID like illness. And, he said it's been a couple years since he's felt that sick because they were so used to wearing masks and stuff. And he said that, he had to kind of get himself in the game because his words, he still feels like shit.
Yeah.
So the one quarter where, Fred was just doing everything offensively, and that's all we needed. It went from 70-59 to 80-70. So that 21-0 run, Fred offensively had his handprints all over it. So those offensively, defensively, I think I give those guys the most credit, especially Juancho, because when you think of Raptors defense, we've been pushing the OG defensive player of the year, defensive team, thing. We've been talking about Fred a lot, but when a guy like Juancho plays 23 minutes and his plus minus was 17 and that led the team.
Yeah.
So he was doing a lot of things right. He didn't score in the game. He didn't. No. He missed. I think he had some open looks from three and he missed all of them. But it's one of those games where you can't look at the box score. It's like the Reggie Evans special,
Yeah.
So I give him a lot of credit for yesterday, and Nurse did too.
Yeah, it wasn't any dissimilar to what the Thad Young game was against the Rockets last week, right? Where he had like 0 points, 8 boards, 0 assists or something like that, but he was right. Like super effective. Yeah, Wancho, I think, definitely deserves some flowers. I mean, that game turned when Delano Banton subs out after missing, I think, his fifth missed three of the night on 6 attempts.
I liked all the shots he took.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, you just can't assume that Delano Banton's a good three-point shooter just yet because he's had a good week. Like, and he, you know, it seemed like they were kind of funneling stuff towards Banton in that stretch. The Heat defense was, and it wasn't working out, and it seemed like they were kind of losing the rope a little. They make the sub, Wancho comes in, and the run ignites essentially immediately. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not just the defense from Hernan Gomez, like the closeouts and the sort of discipline. It's also, I think, like the rebounding from him is super essential. He's been really good on that side of things too. Just like comes in and picks up 4 boards. He had 6 boards in his last game as well. It'd be nice if he could knock down the threes at like a bit of a higher clip. I mean, he's at 40% on 1.3 attempts so far this year. I feel like I haven't seen him make a three this year, but that's something he's been. He's a 35% career shooter, so I'm sure they will fall at some point. And if they are, I mean, there's a totally reasonable deep rotation player sitting right there, and they desperately needed anybody last night to kind of pair with the Barnes, OG, Thad, and Fred quartet. You mentioned Fred as well. Like, the passing from him in this game was ludicrous. He had the lob to Christian Koloko, the no-look lob, it should be said. He had the lob to OG a little later on. He had that pass to Scotty where he kind of evaded the double team, split it, and then sort of, I think it was another no-look down to the block with Scotty in the dunker spot. And then late in the game, he got double-teamed, kind of triple-teamed, honestly. I don't know how he found an avenue for this path for this pass, considering he's 6 feet tall, but he got it to Scotty, who kind of seeped into space on the right block, and he went up and scored. You know, just really, really incredible playmaking and dodging the double teams, evading pressure for Fred, and, you know, he's 3 turnovers. That to me is kind of insane, considering the amount of attention he was seeing last night. So credit to him there. And buddy, the Thad Young Fred VanVleet pick and roll you didn't know you needed. what were your thoughts on Thad in this stretch as well? I thought he was a delight to watch.
Yeah, Thad was amazing. And Fred said after the game that, you know, if he was to show a fresh young player how to play in the NBA, just watch that. Watch what he does. Just in all facets, because again, Miami being small and Thad already being a good offensive rebounder, he just went nuts on them. I think he had 5. I think he had more offensive boards than Miami's entire team.
He did. Miami had 4. He had 5.
Exactly. So
Miami had 23 rebounds in this entire game. That is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're super small. They're not a big team. Even with Bam, they're not a big team, right?
Yeah.
So, he was crucial down the stretch, especially because he kept numerous possessions alive, and he's been doing this. And I don't know how many points that had. I mean, I don't think it was a high point total for him either.
12 on 6 of 9 shooting.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know he was in double digits.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the offensive rebounds were huge because, you know, there was a few possessions where, you know, things were bogged down for the Raptors. And there is that one possession where they just kept getting offensive board after offensive board. They were throwing up. I don't know what the hell they were throwing up, but it was like, I think it was 102-100 with around like 3 minutes left. And they just kept getting second chance after second chance. And then eventually OG finally finished off the play with his own offensive rebound one more. I think Fred got blocked on the three.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thad was extremely crucial grabbing those boards, especially. And it's just great to see someone who a couple weeks ago we were talking about, you know, all these DMP CDs and how, you know, I thought he was going to have more of a role and he thought he was going to have more of a role, and he talked about it a little bit, but he stayed professional. And, you know, now a bunch of guys are out and he's needed to start at center.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it quite well. So yeah, big shout out to Thad.
I mean, turns out when you play Thad Young at small ball five, good things happen. That was the reason why he was so bloody good for the Bulls a couple of years ago, basically a sixth man of the year candidate. He was a small ball five, and he was incredible because he does center things. He can roll. His screens are extremely useful. It's not just like a screen for show. Like, he's actually getting his guard separation. And, you know, it would be nice if he could kind of go up with one of these finishes as opposed to just doing like the lefty flip shots. But also, the lefty flip shots are extremely beautiful to watch. So
if you want Thad to go up and finish, you're talking about a young, spry Philadelphia 76ers Thad Young.
Yeah. He might have one dunk in him per like per quarter of like not of the game, like of the year. Like he'll have a quarterly dunk. That's a good question. We'll have to look that up.
I'm gonna look that up during the next break.
Yeah, you please do that because I have to read it. I'll do an ad read, and then while I do that, you look up what Thad Young has done dunk wise, and we will come back on the other side with that information. We'll also have the good, the bad, and the for you on the other side as well. We'll get to that in just one sec. But first, gotta tell you about our friends over at Sweatblock, which is a company designed for Sean. I am a person who is sweaty. It sucks. It's a really difficult thing. Grad pictures, my wedding. I brought 3 shirts to my wedding just in case I sweat through all of them. That's how bad it is for me. And so Sweatblock is a perfect company for me. Sweatblock wipes were invented by a doctor, and they're guaranteed to work or you don't pay. They call it the Sweatblock Dry Shirt Guarantee for a reason. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, you gotta try Sweatblock. It's very simple. You try the little wipes out the night before you go, or before you go to bed at night. Wipe down your areas where you sweat a whole lot, and then you wake up in the morning and you're dry as a bone, baby. And that can last for up to 7 days. It is a really, really fantastic wonder product. I cannot recommend it enough. I am a Sweatblock user. I have it in my drawer and it has helped me big time. So go and check them out. It is sweatblock.com, the place to go. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to save 20%. Also available on Amazon. It's sweatblock.com. Promo code LOCKEDON. All right, we continue on here with your first listen of the day, rounding out with the good, the bad, and the from the win over the Miami Heat. But first, Jamar, how many times has Thad Young dunked since he became a Raptor?
So he dunked 4 times last season. He has not dunked so far this season. I don't remember.
Yeah, that checks out.
I don't remember any of the 4 dunks. So. All right, but according to Basketball Reference, he dunked four times last year. So
I'm happy for him that he's able to pull that off. I would like to see. We're gonna have to have like a celebration if there's another Thad dunk this season.
I will remember it when I see it this time.
Hell yeah. All right, we're going to get into the good, the bad, and the the way we close all of our game recap shows here at Locked On Raptors headquarters. The good, Jamar, what you got for your good from the win over the Heat?
Well, in my typical fashion, I have 2.
Okay.
Number one, we haven't really talked about Scotty yet.
And he's mine, Scotty. So it's perfect. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, yeah, Scotty, good bounce back game. 19 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. He started the game shooting a couple of those mid-range jumpers that, you know, sometimes you like, sometimes you don't. It depends on the result. And the result was good. They were going in and they kind of sparked his whole night. They kind of set the tone, and then he was able to do other things as well. The energy was there because sometimes, you know, he's kind of been in and out regarding that. And it's just, you know, it's just something he needed for, you know, positive reinforcement because, you know, I talk about Raptors Twitter from time to time, and you know, Fred was the enemy a couple of weeks ago the last time I was here, and then that kind of shifted to Scotty during this little sophomore slump, if you will.
Fickle bunch, Raptors Twitter.
it's never boring though. I'll tell you that it's never boring. So you know, I just wanted to give Scotty a little bit of a shout out for that. And then my other good, which I referred to earlier, is hilarious, and he changed the game a little bit without really doing anything to change the game. It just, from a vibes perspective, it changed the game because, you know, things were kind of dragging a little bit, and it's 70-61, and Jovic throws a ball out of bounds, and Alvin Williams is just a funny dude, man. I you know, the second year, and honestly, he's a funny guy.
He's great. Yeah.
So yeah. I wish I could play the clip, but, you know, these crappy speakers I'm using So basically,
I think we got copyright issues to worry about. I don't want to get mad about using things without express written consent, etc.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that whole aspect. But yeah, throws the ball out of bounds, and then Matt Devlin, you know, say two hands, because Matt Devlin got it from him. He's like, yeah, two hands, Alvin, and he's like, yeah, my other hand was doing something else, and it's like, even Matt Devlin was taken aback. He's like, what? And then it's like, oh, yeah, my knees, you know, he needs new knees, something like that. You know, obviously, you know, everybody knows Alvin's like career was derailed by knee issues and cartilage and whatnot. But it's just like, yo, if you just post that clip without no context, just like the 4 seconds where it's like, yeah, my hand was doing something else. Like,
whoa. Oh, so it's exceptionally horny in a league that this week has revealed a jersey that has CLT on the front. This was hornier.
No, I give him my shout out because Alvin just has been fun from a vibes perspective. It feels like he says something every game that just cracks you up. Whether he's cracking on Kyle or DeMar or something like that. And it's just fun to see him in his second year. He's, you know, he's a little bit more comfortable on these Raptors broadcasts. And it's just he's just naturally a funny guy. He tells some funny stories. And he had some great calls yesterday, especially during OG. You know, he called that pin down for OG to go for the alley-oop. So I give Alvin Williams my good because, you know, the game was kind of dragging and then he kind of snapped my head back to the attention because I was like, what the hell did you just say? And everybody caught it. It went viral right away. So, you know, Alvin Williams, you know, not intentionally, but you got my good because you just made me laugh.
I'm just going to not make a comment about snapping the head to attention and push on through. Scotty Barnes.
Oh, my God.
Scotty Barnes was my good as well. It was really nice to see him look comfortable. Nice to see him like kind of realize he had size advantages over a few of these guys and was able to bully them. He plays so well off of Fred too, right? Like he just like seeps into that space. He just kind of knows exactly where to go. It's the same thing he does around Pascal too, where he always knows where to position himself to be the benefactor of the gravity of Pascal. And it was nice to see him kind of get back to his just really smart ways. 19-6-6, love to see it. Let's get to the bad from this game. Not a ton of bad, I'm guessing, but Jamar, what you got?
Okay, so first bad is my blurry camera, so guys, I apologize for that. I'll get it fixed. I don't know. I've tried everything. It still seems blurry to me, or maybe I'm paranoid, but it seems blurry to me.
Hey, man, the people listening didn't even know. You just told on yourself, man.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so I don't like how it looks. So if I don't like it, I'm going to let everybody know I don't like it. But seriously, for my bad, okay, I feel like I'm really good at telling if something's before the buzzer or after the buzzer.
Yeah.
There's plenty of times. Like, I was at the OKC game last year where Champetti tipped it in at the buzzer. I was at the game, and everybody was cheering. And I'm like, guys, I don't think this counted. And it didn't count. And I can tell those things in real time. And I'm not a ref. So why the hell? I don't understand. That Caleb Martin 3 was easily after the buzzer. And I was just like, okay, they're not going to count this. And then they counted. And I'm like, okay, they're going to review this. And then they didn't review it. And then I heard that, the nurse was angry about it. And the ref told him, yeah, that was before the buzzer. I was like, wow, three of you guys on the court to, like, you know, judge these type of things. And none of you guys caught that. And it can't even be reviewed. So we're just going to give them 3 points for free? I mean, that could have really mattered down the stretch. So, you know, the refs playing the freaking what's the movie? Blindfold. Boat, the kids, the demons thing when Bird Box, that's it.
There you go. You got there.
You were not going to help me.
I had no idea at all, but yeah.
But no, they were doing their best Bird Box challenge yesterday because I don't know how the hell that Caleb Martin 3 was allowed and not reviewed. Like
How is that not reviewable?
That was horrible. You could tell that in real time. And then when everybody saw the replay, it's like, ball, what? It's like he's not even like in the freaking follow-through motion yet. The ball is just plainly in his hands. It's like, wow. And yeah. You guys were that adamant that counted. So no, refs, you get my bad. Ref, you suck. Ref, you suck. Chant. There
you go. If you can review a 3 and you know turn it to a 2 or vice versa, there's no reason why you can't review a shot clock violation. Like that's totally silly.
Well, normally they do review things like that, but for whatever reason, they were so sure the call was right, they didn't review this one. Because you see that all the time, where you know it's like a shot goes in, and they'll signal that they're going to review that one later on during like a timeout or whatnot, and then you'll see the score change if so be it. So it's just like, why not review this one, especially if Nurse is going off about it.
For sure. Very silly. And also spoiled an incredibly beautiful Scotty Barnes closeout block of a 3. It's like highlight trutherism. It's like someone calling back a dunk for a travel. Gross. My bad is playing against Kyle Lowry kind of sucks, man. He's a cheeky one, isn't he? It's literally and figuratively. He's very cheeky. I love it. And I have to catch myself when I see, like, he tries to, you know, he does, like, the hand in the cookie jar. I think he got Delano Banton on one of those last night. And it's like, that's not basketball. Oh, it's Kyle. It's fine. Or he'll, like, yell at the ref. And I'm like, stop yelling at the ref. Oh, it's Kyle. It's fine. It's like having to condition myself to accept that the Kyle-ness of Kyle is going to come through, whether he plays for the team that I like or not. And, it was... extremely frustrating, but very fun to see him do Kyle things. I mean, the pull-up 3 in transition on the very first possession of the game was like, okay, mess me up, Kyle. it's weird seeing it from the other side, but that is my bad, is having to play against Kyle Lowry. It's miserable. Oh, he's very good.
Fred talked about that a little bit afterwards, too. He's like, you know, first he said that there's nothing that Kyle can do to bother him. But he is annoying when he's tricking the refs. He's like,
oh yeah.
It's like as long as you know Kyle's not tricking the refs, it'd be okay. But yeah, Kyle's you know he's tricking the refs. And the refs were, as I mentioned in my bad, the refs were not totally on their game last night. So yeah, they could have been easily tricked. So you know, Kyle's normally really good at that. And yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like you love it when it's on your team, but now it's kind of like, eh.
Oh, yeah. No, it's I think they should outlaw the charge now that Kyle doesn't play for the team that I like. That's a bad, dangerous rule. It's not basketball. Let's get to the to close this out. I am going to pat myself on the back a little bit yesterday, or for the thing I said a couple days ago, where I said the Raptors should be closing games with Chris Boucher more. They closed the game with Chris Boucher last night, and it was pretty good. He's very good at finishing off plays. Obviously, his length on defense is disruptive. He sometimes makes boneheaded plays that make Fred VanVleet very mad. But for the most part, pretty good stuff. And I don't know if it'll continue after they're fully healthy, of course. But certainly like to see Boucher get the call to close this one. And hopefully it's the sign of Nick Nurse maybe trusting him in those late game moments a little bit more than we've seen in the past. I'm just going to, you know, congratulate myself. Jamar, what's your from this game?
We already touched on it a little bit. There was 2 possessions in the first quarter where, like, Fred found Koloko on a beautiful alley-oop. And I just I am loving these plays to set up lobs because they have guys that can finish them, whether it be a Koloko, an OG, guys like that. And it's just – I want to see more of them. And it's just something we haven't really seen – In a few years since, you know, Kyle and DeMar used to like have this thing where they would go down court and guys would just not know and they would, you know, DeMar would slip for an alley-oop. But yeah, it's just something that hasn't been in the Raptors offense for a while. Like any team, yeah, you could do this in transition on a break, but to find those easy baskets in the half court for a team that traditionally struggles in the half court, I just want to see more ways they can do that, especially with Koloko. And Fred's been a fan of this since he's gotten here, the 1-5, you know, role to find the lob. So, you know, the more comfortable they get with that, the better. And, you know, it looked really good. I think Fred was 3 for 3 on his lobs. And, you know, Fred's had his issue throwing lobs, especially if it's him and Precious Achiuwa on the other end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's had his issue throwing lobs. So to see, you know, each one of them convert, no turnovers in that sense, you know, build some chemistry and some familiarity with that. And they've been doing that a little bit over the last, you know, over the course of the season. And I just want to see more of it. So yeah, that's my home.
Yeah, man. The extra 4 inches of target space that Christian Coloco provides is apparently helps. Pretty helpful. Yeah. But yeah, man, I talked about it. Their team dunk. They dunk a lot. We have to look up. We don't have another break for you to look up dunk stats, so we'll have to do this another time because we're running long on time here. But I'm curious to see where the Raptors rank as of right now in terms of total dunks on the season, because it's got to be pretty high because it seems like they dunk everything. Either way, this was a slam dunk episode, Jamar. Thanks so much for coming on the show, dealing with my terrible podcast hosting. Anything you would like to promote for the good people out there?
Yeah, my Twitter link below, or if you're listening, it's Jamar, JAMARBH. I have a link to my Raptors Republic stuff. I just wrote a lengthy recap on this game that has just been up there for a couple hours now. So, you know, a lot of keys to winning this game. You have a lot of quotes on there. You have that Alvin Williams clip if you're interested. I got it for you. And just all the guys at Raptors Republic, really, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, unique insight that we have on there. We have the paywall going for even more deeper insight. That's $6 a month. So, you know, a lot of things that, you know, you can learn about the Raptors. There's a lot of stuff on Raptors Republic, whether it be me, Lewis, Samson, a lot of guys. So, you know, just shout out to everybody there.
Yeah, Raptors Republic, fantastic stuff. My sworn enemies across the board, but rooting hard for all of you guys. You know, go support Raptors Republic, support independent journalism, and support the wonderful work that all of you guys are doing over there at RR. With that, we will round out the show. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we'll be back again tomorrow. I'm up in the air between whether it's going to be a guest episode or a mailbag episode, so keep an eye out. I might have put out a prompt for some questions later on. If you have any questions that you want me to answer either tomorrow or sometime soon, you can always drop them in the comments as well. Just sort of label the mailbag question, and I can put that in my little mailbag and get to them later on. Either way, thank you so much for tuning in. Please support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing on your favorite podcast apps and on YouTube. Go make your second listen of the day. Locked On Leafs, as our pals Mike and Dave over there are breaking down the Leafs, who are fine. They're number two in their division. They're on like a 100-point pace again. Who would have thunk the Leafs were going to be fine? Either way, go check them out. They're doing a great job over there, and we will round it out there. We'll talk to you again Friday with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Bye-bye.